Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
And so please, are you ready? Are you ready to get into this message? Well, please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and we thank you for your grace. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? If you brought your Bibles, please turn with me to James chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 7 through 10. And I've entitled this evening's message, Jesus, Keep Me Closer to You in 2021. Praise God. Praise God. Let's look at the screen right here, my friends. Let's go to the screen. And there we go. Jesus, keep me closer to you in 2021. Praise God. Praise God. So are we there at James? James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. And the Word of God reads, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God. Can I get an amen? Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. He will lift you up. My friends, let me just say this. Let me just say this. That 2020 is a year we would all like to take back or just get past this year. Many of us, since back in March, when we were told to go home and it was a lockdown throughout the whole nation, we didn't know which direction to take. For our church, we lost our building there at the Jewish Center, but praise God, God opened up a new facility in Bonita. And so, my friends, we live in times of testing. We're living in times of also turmoil. I just read this morning that there was a terrorist explosion in Tennessee. Things are happening right now like no other time in the history. And this pandemic has taken many lives. But I'm here to let you know, and I'm praying that this message will motivate you. It will inspire you to draw close to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a time to draw close to God like no other time in the history of this current world right now, but especially with you and I, the believer. And I'm praying for those who don't know the Lord, that at the conclusion of this message, that you will give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look at this for a moment, my friends. Let's look at this. It's right up here. Let's go here. What is a godly life and how is it achieved? Let me read that again. What is a godly life and how is it achieved? Let me just say this. This message that I'm about to deliver, it's all about drawing close, about being sanctified, about laying aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us, and to press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. You and I, we have a higher goal to obtain, and it's not here on this earth. Can I get an amen? God has the best yet to come, but God is saying, hold on. Don't throw in the towel. Continue to press. Continue to trust. Continue to serve. Continue to worship and praise him in the name of Jesus. Praise God. You see, my friends, these are important questions. Why? Because as believers, we are called to live sanctified lives that are fully surrendered to Christ. And although, saints of God, we know that this is God's will for us and that he's working toward this purpose in our lives, we, you and I, we have a responsibility in this process as well. What we habitually do has tremendous influence on whether we have a godly life. Hallelujah. How many of you at home want to live a godly life? How many of you have failed at living a godly life? Well, I'm hoping that this message will strengthen you, will encourage you, and to help you. Praise God. God is a good God. I hope you know that. So let's look at some scriptural references to just encourage us to continue and also to solidify this message that I'm conveying right now. Let's go to God's word right now. Let's go there. Let's look at this. Leviticus 20, 7 and 8. So sanctify yourselves and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Now look at verse 8. You must what? Obey all of my commandments, for I am the Lord who what? Sanctifies you. Praise God. Praise God. You see, in the Old Testament, God, he would convey this time and time again to his people to live holy, to be sanctified unto the Lord. Listen, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God hasn't changed. He hasn't changed his mind. He hasn't changed his ways. He's not tied into our cancel culture. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, let's go back here to God's word right here. Let's look at this. In 1 Peter 2, 9 through 12, let's read this. But you are a chosen generation. Say that with me at home. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his what? Marvelous light. Look at this. Who once were not a people, but now are the people of God. You and I, we were so far away from God before he found us. And look at this. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Look at verse 11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God the day of visitation. Did you catch that, saints of God? You see, if you're living godly, if you're living holy unto God, and you're living that sanctified life, you will draw people to you. Why? Because God is allowing them to see the nature of God, his attributes living through you, living through me. And if we're walking that way, in the way of holiness, this is what people want. And they're looking for love in all the wrong places. But when they see something that's pure, that's holy, that's truthful, they're going to desire that. Why? Because most people that don't know God, their life is empty. They may have all the things in the world. They may be living on Cherry Hill. They may have tons of money in the bank account. They may have all kinds of things monetarily. But yet, their soul is empty. Oh, my friends, we need to be that witness. Can I get an amen? And so, saints, there are several habits that we will help us in our pursuit of godly living. And we're going to go through some of them right now. And hopefully these habits can encourage us, these biblical principles. You see, my friends, a habit is a recurring and often subconscious pattern of behavior that is acquired through frequent repetition. A godly life is one that is no longer seeking satisfaction through a sinful lifestyle, but is now surrendered to God and his will. Can I get an amen? Now, let's look at this for a moment. Let's look at this. So we're going to look at several habits of a godly life. Praise God. Praise God. And let's look at this right here. Number one, a life of prayer. A life of prayer. For you and I, this is our lifeline. Can I get an amen? This is our lifeline. Prayer. We need to pray. Why? Because Jesus was our example. Oh, yes, yes, he was. We see this modeled by the Lord Jesus Christ. And although the disciples and the crowds did not understand why he withdrew when there was so much good he could do, Jesus knew that prayer was an important priority of his life. Can I get an amen? Look, we see this in Scripture right here. Let's go in there. Look at this in Mark 1:35. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying. Look at Luke 4:42. And when the day came, Jesus left, went to a secluded place. Praise God. Praise God. And the crowds were searching for him and came to him and tried to keep him from going away from them. Let me just say this, saints of God. You should have already, as a child of God, establish a prayer closet, a place where you know you can meet God there and commune with him and share your heart with him. And then listen for his still voice, because God still speaks today. Can I get an amen? Yes, he does. He does still speak today. And so, saints, prayer that promotes godliness is not merely occasional petitions offered in times of trouble or need, but a daily conversation with the Father that springs from love for him, for God, and gratitude for who he is and what he does in our life. Can I get an amen? You see, you got to get the mentality that it's not a duty, but a delight. Jesus' disciples observed that his prayers were very different from the ritualistic prayers that were so common in that day. They would stand in the corners and want people to see them pray. You see, my friends, seeing how he spoke so personally with his Heavenly Father prompted them to ask him to teach them how to pray. Oh, yes, look at this for a moment. Look at this in the next verse of Scripture. In Luke 11:1, now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught what? His disciples. Did you catch that, saints of God? You see, Jesus was our perfect example. Jesus set aside the time to commune with his Father, and we need that same time no differently. Can I get an amen? You see, saints of God, since we live in a world filled with temptations, trials, heartaches, burdens, and sin, an intimate prayer life should be a priority. Why? Because it keeps us connected to Almighty God and to his sensitive, it'll be really sensitive to his will. And whatever we do, we will accomplish on our knees, saints of God, as we submit to the Lord. Can I get an amen? And give him our time and listen for his instruction. Praise God. Praise God. Now, let's look at this. Our next principle that we need to establish is having faith. Faith to believe. Can I get an amen? Faith, my friends. We need to have the faith. Look what King David wrote here. Look at this. The Lord has established his throne in all the heavens, and his sovereignty rules what? Over all. We need to have faith that God rules. That's right. That God is in total control. Can I get an amen? God controls everything, not only what happens, but why and how it happens as well, my friends. His sovereignty is our firm, say that with me, our firm foundation for believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. That's right. Let's look at this verse of Scripture right here. This is key, found in Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is what? Impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe, say that with me, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek him. Praise God. Praise God. That's the key. Are you diligently seeking the Lord? Listen, we need God every moment, every hour, every minute of the day. Can I get an amen? He controls our next breath. Oh, yes, he does, saints of God. We need to truly learn to trust the Lord. Can I get an amen? How many trust the Lord at home? Raise your hands. Praise God. Praise God. Listen, King Solomon, let's look at King Solomon right here. Let's look at this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, what? Acknowledge him, and he will make what? Your path straight. Praise God. Praise God. See, saints, the only other option to faith is fretting. A godly life is one that steps beyond worry and goes into trust. Can I get amen? Each time a situation causes us to fret, we should stop in our tracks and remember who's in charge. I hope you know that God's in charge. Listen, saints, listen to me carefully. If God's sovereignty rules over all, we have no reason to worry. Why are you still fretting and worrying? Those who caught COVID, God's healing your body right now. God is raising you up. God is delivering us. That's right. You see, my friends, the evidence of our faith is the absence of worry. Can I get amen? You got to trust God. Trust in the Lord. Also builds intimacy with Him. As we talk and we listen to Him and respond in obedience, He guides us and we develop that closeness with Him. How many of you want to be close? Close with Him, both in our heart and our thinking. Praise God. Praise God. We live in a mighty, 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 mighty a place with God when we're in prayer. I hope you know that. Praise God. Now, let's look at our next principle. Meditation on the Word of God. How many of you just read right through the Bible and don't even meditate? We need to learn how to meditate on God. You see, King David understood. King David understood meditation. Let's look at Psalms right here. Let's look at this for a moment. Look at this. In Psalm 63:6, when I remember you on my bed, I what? Say that with me at home. I meditate on you in the night watches. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, meditation includes reading all the scripture, thinking about it, seeking to apply what God says, asking Him questions, and surrendering any issues He brings to mind. You see, God will bring those issues to mind. That's right. If we're spending time with Him, quality time. It's like looking into the mirror of God's Word to see what He says, but then looking beyond the mirror to see Him. As we focus on the Lord, my friends, worries and concerns drift away, and our minds are freed from the contamination of the things that do us no good. Can I get an amen? So, saints of God, this should be our prayer. What should be our prayer? Right here, it's in the Word of God. Look at this. Look what King David wrote here in 119:133. Establish my footsteps in your word, and do not let any iniquity have dominion over me. Praise God. Praise God. Did you catch that? You see, saints of God, meditation keeps us alert and sensitive to whatever God wants to do in your life, in my life. And that's why it's so important, my friends, to set aside a time to be alone with Him and His word. This is something that maybe you need to reestablish in 2021. These principles that I'm teaching us this day is to allow us to draw closer. Listen, we had a horrendous 2020, but I believe God wants us to draw closer to Him in 2021. Can I get an amen? Praise God, praise God. And as we read and think about, hallelujah, what the Lord says, He speaks to our heart when we meditate on God. Now, if we want God to fill our minds with His Word, we must guard against letting the world dominate our thoughts. Can I get amen? It's easy to be occupied from morning until evening with the things of this world without giving much thought to God. Saints, taking time to be alone with the Lord, to meditate on His Word, is essential if we want to live a godly life. Each day we must choose whether to carry the Lord or the world with us. Can I get an amen? And so remember to meditate. Now we're going to look at another principle right here. Let's look at this. Obedience. Ooh, this one's a tough one. For some of you, man, obedience is the last thing that you want on your bucket list. That's right. Obedience is essential. Obedience is needed. Can I get an amen? Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes. Let's look at this for a moment, saints of God. Listen, Moses told the nation of Israel. What did he tell them? He told them this in Deuteronomy. Look at this right here. Let's go right here in Deuteronomy. Look at this. This is what Moses said. If you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all His commandments, which I commanded you what? Today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. What? That's right. Yes. How many of you want to be set apart, having God do miraculous and wondrous things in your life? Well, the key is living an obedient life unto Him. You see, how can you bless a disobedient child. That won't teach them if you spoil them rotten while they continue to do the same habitual wrongdoings and yet you reward them for that. No. There's some things that you have to do to discipline them. Can I get an amen? Well, God wants us to have that discipline in our life so that we can walk obediently before Him. And it doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen by osmosis. You can't just put the Bible on your head and, oh, I got it now. No, saints of God. And so in a similar way, we walk on a higher level than the world when we live in obedience to God. Not that we're better, but we're walking in grace and mercy. We're walking in His love. We're walking like no other human on this earth can walk with. A lot of them don't know God, but you and I do. We've been born again, washed in the blood, filled with the Spirit. It's not a matter, saints of God, of looking down on others, but choosing to live by God's standards rather than following the world's lifestyle. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Praise God. Let's look what the book of Romans says right here. Look at this. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking, did you catch that now? Look at this. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation, and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, and of the Jew first, and also of the Greek. Verse 10, look at this. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is what? Good. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. Did you catch all that, saints of God? Praise God. Praise God. Walk in His ways. When God says, hey, put that down. If God says, you know what, take that out of your life. If God says, you know what, that person is going to bring you down. Then walk in obedience to God and allow Him to bless your life. Did you know God wants to bless your life? He doesn't want to curse us. He wants the best for us. Can I get amen? And the only way you're going to obtain His best is to walk in that obedient life unto Him. Can I get an amen? Now, let's look at our next principle. Dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Praise God. You see, every believer in Jesus is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But the Apostle Paul also tells us in the book of Ephesians, look at there. Look at what God says right here. Be filled with the Spirit. Praise God. Praise God. Listen, you and I, we cannot live this life without God's power. We need the Spirit of God in us. Can I get an amen? We need to live supernaturally. It's easy to tell a kid that, say, he's 7 years old. And you tell him, take a time out. I want you to sit down. He'll sit down. But in his heart, he's standing up. You see, without the Holy Spirit to bridle our tongue, to bring His peace and joy and love and comfort, we can't do those things that God is requiring on our own strength. We need the power of God in our life. That's right. Why do you see so many people in church who always backslide, or they're in church, they're out of church, they struggle, they're in illicit relationships, in and out, and they sometimes will go into smoking binges and alcohol and drugs and come back and get cleaned up. You know why they live a roller coaster life? Because they choose not to have the power of God living in them. We need the power of God. You see, the power of God strengthens us. The power of God, hallelujah, drives out the darkness and allows the light to come in, that we would have joy unspeakable and full of glory to do those things He is requiring of us. It should be joy, not misery. If you're looking at it like this, oh, woe is me, and I got to do all this and that, guess what? You missed the mark. You missed the whole point. Because you're trying to live a Christian life in your own strength. But we need God. Can I get amen? We need the power of God. Hallelujah. Now, the Greek verb signifies that this is a continuous action of filling, meaning being filled by the Spirit of God. You see, let's go back there. Being filled with the Spirit, that's a continual act. It means to live in obedience to Him, my friends. Rely on Him to what? To equip, empower, to strengthen, and to teach and guide us, what, each day. Only as we depend on the Spirit will we be, the Spirit of God, we will be able to do what God desires. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Praise God. Now, this is why we need the Holy Spirit. Let's look at the Word of God. In John 14, 25 through 27, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you what? All things, and bring to your remembrance all things I said to you. Peace I leave with you." Did you catch that? "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Praise God. Don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. He's the great comforter. Praise God. Praise God. Now, let's look at this next principle here. Given to God and others. That's right. Given to God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Listen, my friends, we have a promise in the Word of God. Look at this. This is a great, wonderful promise written in the book of Luke. Let's go here. Let's look at this. Luke 6:38. "Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in" what? "Return." Praise God. Praise God. Now, there are churches that will use this just for monetary purposes. Yes, they'll use that to try to convince you, you need to give more. And this, no, that's not what this is about. Giving to the house of God and your finances is just one matter. No, giving of yourself, serving the Lord. That's right. Loving your spouse, loving your children, giving to them. Give them your best. Give them your life. That's where you'll find your life, when you give it away. That's right. But people have they misunderstand this scripture. They think it all about is tithes and offerings. No, that's just one aspect of your life. And we should give unto the Lord in that aspect. We should never deny the house of God. But this is more than just monetary. It's about your heart. Where is your heart? Can I get amen? You see, saints, we can never outgive God. But by not giving, we are what? Claiming that we really don't need Him, but can manage on our own. You see, my friends, only God can predict and provide for our future needs. Can I get an amen? Now, we're coming down to our last principle, and this one is a tough one here. That's right. Forgiving other people. That's right. Forgiving other people. That's one of the toughest things to do, especially if someone's done you wrong. Someone has double-crossed you. That's right. Someone has betrayed you. Someone has just misinformed you and lied to you. That's right. It's hard. Forgiveness may not be easy, but it's what the Lord commands. Can I get an amen? Let's look what God says in His Word. Paul wrote to the Ephesian church, "Let no corrupt word" what? "Proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." We are sealed. We have no excuse no more. Let all bitterness. Now God is saying this, because we're sealed, we're saved, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. The way we grieve God is if we allow these things to take place. But God is exhorting you right now. He's exhorting me. "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." And what? "And be kind." Say that with me. "And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ" what? "Forgave you." That's the problem, especially in the church. You know, there's people that still haven't forgiven one another. And guess what? They'll go to another church. And guess what? they'll find someone there that has double-crossed them, and they will go through the same situation. Why? Because they haven't dealt with the first situation. So they take that same baggage with them, and it starts all over again. That's right. Why? Because they still have junk in their trunk. Saints, even if someone betrays us, we must forgive them and trust God to take care of the situation. That's right. You see, saints of God, Jesus summed it up best. He summed it up best. And I'd rather believe Jesus than believe anybody else. Can I get an amen? Let's look at this for a moment. And Jesus said in Matthew 6, 14 through 15, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive," what? "Your trespasses." Wow. Wow. That's pretty tough, huh? So as we come in for a close, I have some questions that I want to ask you. Let's look at the first one. Number one, what changes would you have to make to cultivate these seven godly habits that we just talked about, these principles? What would they be, my friends? Number two, which areas are the most challenging for you? For some, it might be that forgiveness one. For some, meditating on God's word. For some, no desire for the things of God. Let's look at number three. What obstacles will you need to overcome? What obstacles will you need to overcome? I believe it boils down to being obedient unto God. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen in the house? Listen, 2021 is a critical and vital year. Why? Because this whole year of 2020 was a pandemic, basically, year. And something else is coming. And this is why we need to draw close. Why? Because Jesus is coming soon. He's coming sooner than we think. And we need to have our house ready. Can I get an amen? Is your house ready? Is your house ready? Because he's going to come in the clouds and he's going to take us home. That's right. Jesus is coming for his bride. And if you are a true child of God, guess what? He's coming for you and he's coming for me. Let's look at God's word, how he's coming back in the clouds. Look at this. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul wrote to them and wrote, "But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." Look at verse 15. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will" what? "Rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up." There it is. "We'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, frighten one another." No! Comfort! Comfort one another with these words. Can I get an amen? The Bible says that flesh and blood cannot enter into heaven. So a miraculous thing needs to take place. We must be what? Changed. That's right. Let's look what the Word of God says right here. Paul wrote it best in 1 Corinthians 15:50. Look at this. "Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be" what? "Changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be" what? "Changed." Look at this. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Wow. Wow. The question is, are you ready? Are you ready to be raptured up? Have you given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you repented and turned to Christ? Have you been washed in the blood, filled with the Spirit of God, water baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins? Have all that has taken place? My friends, don't be left behind. All you have to do is cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter the Apostle, written by Luke, said it best. And it says right here in the Word of God. Look at this. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. Remission means forgiveness of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. So, my friends, my question is, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to meet the King? Are you ready to give your heart to the Lord? Listen, allow me to lead you to Him. I can point you to the cross, but it would be just like this. For some people, there's an old saying, you can lead a horse to the well, but you can't make him drink. I could point you to the cross, but I cannot give you salvation. You have to cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus will save you. He says, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened, I will give you rest. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you. He wants to save you. He wants to take you home as well when he comes for the whole church. And all you got to do is cry out to God. If you're listening right now and you never give in your heart and surrender to the Lord, bow your heart and your head with me and allow me to lead you into this prayer. Just remember, the prayer don't save you. It's your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That'll save you. Pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner, and I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new creature in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. Somebody give God a shout of praise and glory. Somebody just gave their heart to God. Someone just got saved. Praise God. Now listen, right there on the bottom of the screen, you can reach out to us. That's our website. And listen, we'd like to get you a Bible. We'd like to pray with you further. Reach out to us, and we'll point you to a good church. And if you don't live locally, we'll find a church for you, that a trusted church you could go and grow in your faith. And also, I am so blessed just to share that many of you are still supporting our ministry. And we are so mighty thankful. We are so thankful that you guys still bless the house of God. And right there on your screen, there's our website, and donations are deeply appreciated. Well, I hope this message has strengthened you, has helped you, has given you an insight what we must do in 2021, and that is to draw close to the Lord, closer than you've ever been, because I still believe there are still things down the road, and we're going to see some turbulent things before Jesus comes and takes us home. And so I can't wait to come into your living rooms once again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. And don't forget to put this on your calendar. January 10th is our projected day to come back into our facility, have Bishop Joel David Trout bring the Word of God, and we're looking forward to that day. where we can all come back into the unity of the faith. And so allow me to send out the Aaronic blessing, and it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's time to say goodbye. We love you. God bless you. Looking forward to seeing you all Wednesday night at 7 p.m. And so you guys all take care, and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you, and thank you for listening.